but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Huge college football weekend coming up. Oregon going to Iowa City to play Iowa. Oregon State at home against Sam Houston State. It should shape up to be a big one in other ways as well, as you've got BYU and Texas Tech playing. That is a big game with college football playoff ramifications. You've got Miami trying to prove that it belongs in the top 12. I suspect Miami's going to go out and win by about 40 this weekend, trying to prove that. You got games like Washington playing at Wisconsin. Washington trying to keep it going. Can the Huskies do that? I want to talk about all that, plus USC. All of that, we're going to talk with John Wilner of the Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. He joins us every week to talk college football. Wilner, before we get too much into the games, your takeaways on the college football playoff ranking reveal. What are you left thinking about after the reveal?
I thought that they, on the whole, did a pretty good job relative to last year, certainly. With the top 10 specifically, you know, the deeper you get, the easier it is to quibble. Certainly Miami 18th and Notre Dame 10th is interesting, given that Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head and they have the same record. Three Big 12 teams ahead of the highest-ranked ACC team, Virginia at 14, was interesting. But, you know, they got the top four right, whatever order. You know, Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, and Alabama, those were going to be the top four, and they got them. And then the second tier is pretty clear as well. I did think Oregon was properly ranked. I know it surprised a few because they're lower than they are in the AP poll, but quite frankly, Oregon doesn't have a win over a ranked and has played one ranked team and got beat badly at home. So I actually have no problem with the Ducks where they are given their resume.
I watched the reveal with the sound off, and then later I go back and I look at the transcript and I listen to the Mac Rhodes interview, and you know, the audio of that is available to media and available publicly. And Mac Rhodes says, you know, he's the Baylor athletic director. He said he kept bringing up the word, hey, they look like we thought it was almost like the eye test is a thing again. What did you make of kind of the comments of Mac Rhodes?
Every year the committee is a little bit different, and what it emphasizes is or de-emphasizes is a little different. And the makeup affects it, how many coaches are on it, how strong the coaches' voices are, I think matters a lot. And, you know, if you're going to get coaches kind of moving the discussion or leading the discussion, you're probably going to get a committee that focuses more on eye tests and metrics and that cares more just about winning than maybe strength of schedule. You know, a lot of coaches think beating Alabama State is the same as beating Alabama, because a win is a win. And when that's the case, then the committee is going to be focused more on actual record than on the quality of competition. We'll see how it plays out, but certainly based on yesterday or Tuesday, it seems like, yeah, maybe the eye test is going to kind of have more emphasis than it has in past years.
I mean, it's interesting because I rather enjoyed the reveal, not hearing all the shoulder programming and all the belly aching from the pundits. And then, you know, I was very interested in what the chair of the committee had to say. And I was like, gosh, did he say, look, we saw.
Yeah.
And then I went back and it was like seven or eight times he referenced kind of what they saw or what they looked at. What do you think in general? I mean, the Big 12 did well. You brought this up in our video cast on YouTube, Canzano and Wilner, for people who want to check that out. But you brought this up, this idea that, you know, you've got a Big 12 AD as the chair, and it was a very friendly poll for the Big 12. Last year, Ward Manuel was a Big Ten guy. You got a lot of Big Ten representation. We had that big snafu with North Carolina in the NCAA tournament. You brought this up. I mean, what are you seeing there as it pertains to the chair and sort of the atmosphere in the room?
I'm just seeing people being people. And if you spend as much time with someone as the committee members spend with each other, you're going to develop a relationship. And subconsciously or consciously, whatever, you know, I think that the chair's preferences kind of have a little bit of an impact. And the chair, you know, he doesn't have to recuse himself unless they're actually talking about Baylor. Right. So Mac Rhodes, Baylor AD, can be in the room when they're talking about Big 12 schools. The chair leads the discussion. Just think that it's only human nature to have some kind of for there to be an influence in the committee. I don't think they should have ADs be chairman, the chair. They should have a completely neutral chair in both the men's basketball and the football selection committees. They have got to get rid of having an AD, an active AD, leading the discussion.
What do you think about just having coaches as part of the poll? And, you know, I say that knowing Ivan Mizell, the writer, you know, with Sports Illustrated and other places, he was part of the committee. You had a bunch of ADs being part of the committee. Where do you stand on who should be on that committee?
I don't actually have a big problem with ADs as long as they're not the chair. I would not support an all coaches committee because I think that, again, coaches care too much about just winning and losing, you know, that every game doesn't matter who, you know, it's like the Lou Holtz thing, right? I mean, there's no difference between playing Navy and playing Ohio State. A win is a win. And I don't want that mentality completely dominating the committee. I think it should be a part of the discussion, but not the entire discussion. You know, they could bring in some more media people. They could bring in some of the analytics gurus. But I generally think it's okay if a chair is a neutral party. That, to me, is the biggest thing. I've done the mock selection for both men's basketball and football. The chair has got a lot of influence. And if the chair's from a certain team in a certain conference, there's no surprise if that conference gets treated well.
Help us out with that, because most of our listeners have not been in that room and gone through that process. When you say the chair has influence, give us an example or an idea of how that plays out in the room.
Well, they are saying, all right, here's what we're going to do. All right, we need to move on to this discussion. Okay, what do we think about this discussion? They are, you know, there are also, I should say, you know, the college football playoff has a group of staffers that are also in the room that are providing data, that are putting stuff up on the screen, you know, making sure that all the key points get addressed. But the chair leads the discussion, as they would in any, you know, any committee, in any walk of life. And the recusal policy is limited to the team, right? So last year, Ward Manuel, this is my big conspiracy theory, you know, Michigan failed to recruit a quarterback, so Michigan kind of stunk last year. And they weren't in the playoff discussion at all, which allowed Ward Manuel, Michigan's AD, who was the committee chair, he didn't have to recuse himself because Michigan was never part of the discussion. He could be in the room when they were talking about Indiana and talking about Penn State, talking about Ohio State. And I think that that actually had an impact on how the Big Ten was treated. And if Michigan had been better and part of the discussion and Manuel recused himself, maybe the things would have turned out a little bit differently.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. I want to talk about a few games here. Northwestern's at USC in this big Friday night game on Fox. USC's a two-score favorite, a 15-point favorite, playing at home against Northwestern. Northwestern has not been bad in Big Ten games. They've won 4 of 5. They're 3-1-1 against the spread in conference games. What do you think about USC and Northwestern?
Well, I do think USC's been good at home, right? They pounded Michigan and looked very good doing it. Northwestern, I think, is coming off a bye, if I'm not mistaken. So they've had 2 weeks to get ready. Big Ten likes to give the Midwestern teams 2 weeks before they head west. But I don't know that Northwestern can hang with USC for four quarters. USC can really score, and when they're at home, they play very confidently. I kind of like the Trojans, even though that's a pretty big number.
I am looking to the Saturday games, obviously. Some focus on Oregon at Iowa, 12:30 on CBS. The beat reporter who covers Iowa for the Des Moines Register told me, quote, "There's something dangerous in the air right now in Iowa City, and that's hope," end quote. Iowa feels like it can compete in this game. Oregon is a 6.5-point favorite going to Iowa City. What do you think happens?
Well, I do think the weather could play a role. Not that Oregon is unaccustomed to rain, but if it is raining and there's wind, especially if there's wind, it could create a little bit of a slog, right? It's a lot harder to complete downfield passes if the wind is bad. And if it's a slog, I think that favors Iowa because it's a closer game. Maybe there's fewer possessions, more running plays, and you tighten the game, and then all of a sudden one play here or there in the fourth quarter could make all the difference. I mean, Iowa played Indiana to a tie game in Iowa City until like 2 minutes left in that one when Indiana finally scored to go ahead by a touchdown. So Iowa played a lot better against Indiana than Oregon did. And that, to me, is something that you need to kind of take into account.
I am looking at, the Stanford's going to North Carolina. Yeah, I know Stanford's going to play Elijah Brown, a sophomore at quarterback. Carolina's been better in recent weeks with Bill Belichick. Carolina's a 7.5-point favorite. I think Carolina's going to cover that, but what do you see with North Carolina and Stanford? And obviously, this is heading towards a big game eventually.
Well, Stanford has been very bad on the road in ACC play. Average margin of defeats, like 4 touchdowns. They haven't really been competitive. So you factor that, plus the fact that Carolina is getting better. I saw Carolina in person at Cal. I wanted to see the Belichick train wreck. And they actually were okay. And then they played better and they just beat Syracuse for their first win over a Power Four team. So it seems like they're kind of finding their footing a little bit, and combine that with Stanford being bad on the road. I think that Carolina will end up winning this game handily.
I am looking at Washington going to Wisconsin, 1:30 on the Big Ten Network Saturday. Huskies in control of their destiny to some extent. Washington's an 11.5-point favorite going to Madison. I think that one's going to be tighter than the spread, but what do you see?
You think the Huskies and Ducks are sharing a chartered flight to the West? They are. It's interesting. They're both. This is the last trip to the other side of the country for both teams, and one's in Madison, the other's in Iowa City, couple hours apart. Both day games, and I think the weather is going to be bad in Madison too, which, again, you know, harder to throw the ball, more running plays, shortens the game. And you look at how Wisconsin played at Oregon in the rain. Their defense is pretty good. So I kind of think that's too many points.
Yes.
And Washington, it's worth noting, Washington has not covered the spread since they entered the Big Ten beginning last year. They have not covered the spread in a road game in the Eastern and Central time zones.
Interesting. Yeah, I kind of see like
0-7.
I think it's like a 7-point game, a 10-point game. It's something like 24-14, 21-14, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think Wisconsin can score, but I don't think Washington's going to run away from them either. A game that I'm finding rather interesting here, Nebraska's going to UCLA. This one flipped. Nebraska was a favorite, and Dylan Raiola's out. He was declared out. Now UCLA's a favorite. This is an interesting game. Can UCLA win this game, Wheeler?
Oh, I think so for sure. UCLA's had 2 weeks to get ready, and Nebraska's making that long trip after playing a tough game against USC. That's the Big Ten doing it dirty to one of its 14 schools. They don't usually do that kind of thing, but it's hard to play a road game when the host has had 2 weeks to get ready. Now, Nebraska, TJ Lateef, their quarterback, he's from Southern California. So he went to Orange Lutheran, and you figure that he's going to have a lot of fans in the crowd, family, and will want to perform well. Now, that could backfire, too, if he tries to do too much and makes a bunch of mistakes. But I think UCLA will win that game. I to me, that spread is off. It should be more like 4 or 5 points.
John Wilner, you're the best, my friend. I appreciate you. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for coming on every week.
Thanks for having me.
Great stuff from Wilner. If you missed any of that, you can grab the podcast. Go to Apple Podcasts and make sure you subscribe. You can also subscribe to the Canzano and Wilner podcast on YouTube. Find it on YouTube. Just search for me on YouTube and you'll locate it. Good stuff earlier in the program from Trent Walker, Oregon State wide receiver. I'm still marveling over the idea that he's got a bunch of agents who are in his DMs trying to sell him on ideas at other schools. It's got to be crazy. Don't often think about sort of the distraction that happens late in the season. Wrap your mind around that. Big college football weekend. Ducks certainly looking for a W at Iowa, going into Iowa City. We'll talk about that coming up. Plus, Staven's got the 5 at 5. We're going to lead you right into Thursday night football here on the Bald-Faced Truth.